Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
And welcome to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the ever optimistic Matthew Henry. Come on, dude. We talked about this. We talked about it. Okay, listen.
I don't want to be the optimistic one. Don't make me. I don't want to do it.
I wonder if Locked On Giants is hiring.
Bob, shut it. You're not helping.
I don't get paid enough for this.
We will talk about that later. Like, I agree. Like, if this is the way the season is going to be, we're all going to need to get paid more. But we have a problem. Listen, Matthew. You don't have to be the optimistic one. Everybody knows I'm the natural liar in the family anyway. I'll be the optimistic one. You can just be... I got a good word for you.
Okay.
You'll be the worried one, okay?
Oh, that is a good word for me.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. On me in three, Bob. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the qualmish, Matthew Henry. How you doing, Matthew?
Qualmish. Look that up on the old Google.
You don't need to look it up.
Nauseated. Squeamish. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I'm good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, feeling a little down, are we?
Yes, Ben. And I know I'm not the only one.
What? What are you talking about?
And I know my role on this podcast is supposed to be the optimistic one, but I just can't, Ben.
You can only do so much, right?
I can't do it. I can't be optimistic.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, Matthew, but I'm a former Silicon Valley executive. So I'm really good at blowing smoke and telling lies. And so, as I said, I have no problem being the optimistic one today. Like, you know, this is fine. Everything's fine. Folks, everything's fine. Like, I know things are looking down. I know that things are looking shaky. I know the offense hasn't displayed much of anything all year since Matt Chapman hit those home runs in San Diego. But here's the thing, folks. We still got a long season left. As everybody keeps saying, well, at least they were saying it a week ago, especially when they were all high on Mr. Blake Snell. I was about to say that super sarcastically, and I realized...
You're the optimistic one.
I'm to be the optimistic one. It's still early, folks. It's still early, which leads me to our question of the day, Matthew, our icebreaker question for you. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When isn't it early anymore? Like, I mean, you know, in life... In general, like what percentage of something needs to pass for it no longer to be early? Like, a human life lasts somewhere between 70 and 80 years.
That's fair. I was thinking about this because here in Sonoma County, actually, they just came out with this list of like when, like, we're like one of the communities that lives the longest. And so I think our average, like, age is like 83 or something like that. So 84.
Yeah, it's all that wine. I mean, wealth.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Both. and so I would say a quarter of the way. So 21, you're probably, then you're not considered, you know, it's not early anymore. then
okay, so then, a quarter of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
A quarter of the way. All right, that's good to know. I'm going to write that statistic down in here. I'm not going to do math right now because it's too early and I'm not drunk enough for that.
Okay, good.
But I'm going to write that down. So you're saying a quarter of the way means it's no longer early. Like when you're in that early, and I get that, right? Because like when you're under 18, you're still a child.
Right, right. You know, 21, so clearly, you're about ready to graduate from college, maybe. You're about to like embark on a career. Right. It's, right. You know, that's not early anymore. Yeah. Now you're like, you're getting into real life. Now
right.
You're getting
it's into- start, yeah. You maybe still have a room for a few mistakes, but like if you really screwed up your childhood, you're kind of doomed.
Correct.
And
correct.
And now is the time to really start pouring it on, turn it around. So like hopefully you were from, you know, a very wealthy part of the country where people live long lives, and so you had a lot of privilege to set you up. But even if you didn't, you need to at least be like middle of the road, right?
Cuz right? At that age, I mean, you're either going to finish college or you're going to get kicked out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
Ben?
Yeah.
Right.
That is true. If you don't finish college and you stop going to classes, they don't let you live there anymore. And all I have to say to you, Columbia, is karma.
Anyway.
Today is Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
Woo! Cinco de Mayo, where the Mexicans kick some French butt.
That's right. And I've got a cocktail perfect for both that scenario today. Your San Francisco Giants. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. The San Francisco Giants. They may not be your San Francisco Giants anymore.
We're not claiming
them. I don't want to presume. Okay, let me rephrase. My San Francisco Giants went 1-5 this past week to bring their season record to 15-20 to drop a season high. Hey, it's a season high.
Woo!
Yeah, woo! 500. They did this after dropping the first two games against Boston, which we talked about in our last show, before salvaging the getaway game with a genuine Yastrzemski home run. I watched that home run again back on the Boston broadcast because I thought, hey, that'll be cool to watch. And they didn't call it at all because they spent that whole half inning interviewing a pitcher who pitched on a previous day. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. They didn't talk about the game at all. Is that how you do, Boston? Because that's bad. Anyway, then your Giants went to Philadelphia to take a litmus test against one of the strongest teams in baseball. And I don't know if they're one of the strongest teams in baseball, but I can tell you this. They are a lot stronger than the San Francisco Giants. Because the San Francisco Giants have gone 0-3, including a 14-3 loss that wasn't even their worst loss of this early season. I'm sorry, but that's okay. That's okay, folks. It's just a rough patch. We're in the middle of the longest road trip of the year, and these things happen. It's fine. This is fine. And that's what we're talking about today, folks. We're going to be talking about that this isn't the end, but it could be the beginning of the end. And we're going to talk about why it isn't and why it is. And then, in case we all agree that it might be the beginning of the end, we're going to talk about what to do if it is the end. And the first thing that you need to do if this does turn into a train wreck, you got to keep listening to this show.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. That is number one. Like, that is the most important thing. Like, if the Giants suck, you got to keep listening to Giant Cocktails.
That's right. That's right.
Because we're going to keep pumping out the jokes.
That's right. Yo, I mean, look at the box scores and then listen to this podcast. That's all you got to do.
That's right. That's right.
We're not expecting you to watch the games. You
that's
know?
Right. No. But you don't have to watch the games.
No, don't. In fact, maybe that would be a good advice, you know, but don't watch the game for your mental
health. We'll watch them for you. And we'll tell you twice a week whether you should go back and watch the recordings of the games. you know, just jump onto your old DVR.
And so Ben, on that note,
yeah,
I started thinking about this, that people might not want to listen if it's just us.
Oh, okay. Well, so, that's good news.
So I got on the old Twiddler. DM'd a good friend of the show, new friend of the show, maybe. Well, I don't know if I've told you this.
Well, that remains to be seen.
On Thursday, we're going to have The Athletic columnist Andrew Baggerly on our show.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I thought so, too. But he's actually agreed to come on.
Wait, what? You're serious?
I am. Yes, I'm serious. I'm assuming he hasn't listened to the show before.
Yeah, Andrew Baggerly has clearly never listened to our show before. He must think that we're affiliated with some big conglomerate or something.
And, yeah, yeah.
And maybe he's trying to parlay us into a job or something.
Well, it all started with one of his columns last week where he was mentioning cocktails in his columns.
There was a Logan
Webb punch, and there was like Benedictine. And so I reached out to him and I said, hey, would you like to come on the show? And he said, absolutely. And so he's going to be on the show, and we're going to talk about cocktails and maybe the Giants.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Giants, but we're definitely also going to talk cocktails. Yeah, so yes, believe it or not, Andrew Baggerly is going to be on our show, you know, unless he cancels or something, you know, whatever. But in fact, we're going to be recording that episode Thursday morning. So while our episode usually pops out at 7 a.m. bright and early, it's going to be coming a little bit later in the day on Thursday, but it will be out with a special guest. Andrew Baggerly is going to be on the show. So there you go. Another reason to hang with us. You got to hang with us. It's all maybe not going to be okay. But you know what? That's life. And you got to keep pushing that rock up the hill. And it's better when you do it with friends, drunk. And we're those friends.
And we like to get drunk.
And we tell you how to get drunk. Yeah, that's right. We definitely like getting drunk. So anyway, that's what we're talking about today. Why you should keep listening to Giant Cocktails if things go the wrong way. And a little of why they won't. This is the low point, folks. This is the low point. This is the point we're going to all point back to in October when we say, remember then we're 5 games under 500? Mm-hmm. And it just all felt like it was just awful. Awful.
This is the low point, but then we play the Rockies in a few days.
Okay, I didn't say there weren't some key moments coming up, but we're going to talk about that.
Okay,
we're going to talk about that.
Okay,
you know what you need to do?
The trivia
question. Mr. Optimist? Yeah, ask your trivia question.
Okay, thank you. Let's get into the trivia question. So today, our four-string catcher, Jackson Reitz.
I can barely count that high. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, okay.
And Jackson spells his name Jackson. So Jackson Reitz hit his first major league home run for the Giants and only his third professional at bat. And I tried to get into
his third major league at bat.
Yes. His third major league at bat. Right. Not professional. Third major league at bat. He hit a home run for the Giants in his first Giants at bat.
And it was a monster, too.
It was nice.
He annihilated it.
So it was not his first major league at bat, but I tried to find, like, who was the last Giant player that hit a home run in his Giants debut at bat. And that was a little bit harder to find than I thought it was, because, you know, all the little, like, the finder outers were not as easy to manipulate as I thought they would be. So I did find, though. The finder outers, okay. Yes.
I
did find, though, however, that there have been 4 San Francisco Giants who have hit a home run in their first major league at bat as a Giant. Can you name 2 of them? Because 3 of them, if you're a lifelong Giants fan like us, you've definitely heard of them. 1 you may not be so familiar with, but there have been 4. And I'm only asking you to name 2.
You're asking me to name 2 of the 4.
Yes. And I say specifically San Francisco Giants, not New York.
Okay. So oftentimes I know the answer and I pretend to not know the answer because, like, that's dumb, right? If I say the answer on the show. This time I'm pretty sure I don't. I only know one of them. I know one of them definitively because if you don't know this one, you're not a Giants fan. And if you don't know this one,
or you're like 20 years old and you don't remember back that far.
If you don't know. If you're 20 years old and you don't know this, Well, what are you doing?
You're going to learn
too much time at school.
That's true. That's for sure.
You're spending way too much time at school and reading books. Okay, you need to spend more time reading about the San Francisco Giants if you don't know one of these. Sacrilege. But it's fine if you don't. Whatever. It's just baseball. So I know one, but I'm not going to say that one. So I'm just going to give me a one moment here, Matthew, while I just click on a link here, and I'm just going to grab okay. Yep. I got it. Steve Scarsone and Kim Batiste.
Were they even Giants?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's worse than the 20-year-old not knowing you-know-who doing you-know-what against you-know-whom.
All right. Yeah, all right. We will see if Ben is correct at the end of the show.
Thank you.
Isn't it time for the booze, boys?
Yes, let's talk it, booze.
We need it.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Well, thank you for asking, Bob. That's very kind of you, Bob. This week, I am drinking in honor of Cinco de Mayo, the holiday of my people, about a battle that I think I don't even know if they won the battle.
Of course they won the battle.
They won the battle, but they lost the war, right?
Well, they're not speaking French in Mexico, so I think that eventually they figured it out.
Yeah, this was like the France's Vietnam or something. Well, you know, France was in Vietnam. And then France had, okay, and it was one of France's many Vietnams. Anyway, I am drinking the Lone Ranger in honor of my ancestral home, Mexico. And today, did I say the name of it?
Did you say what?
It's the Lone Ranger.
Yes, you did say
that. I'm drinking the Lone Ranger. Okay. And the reason I'm drinking it is because it has tequila in it. It has 1.5 ounces of tequila, Blanco, 1 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of rich simple syrup. That's like simple syrup, except you use twice as much sugar than you usually do. And then it has 2 to 4 ounces of sparkling rosé wine. You combine your tequila, your lemon juice, and your rich simple syrup into a shaker with ice. You shake until chilled, and then you strain that into a highball. You carefully add your ice, and then you slowly pour in sparkling rosé to be careful to preserve the bubbles. And you might want to give it one gentle stir with a spoon to mix the ingredients. You might not want to. And it turns out to be this nice, refreshing pink color. And those of you who know, it's very similar to a French 75, which is one of my very favorite cocktails. And that's what I'm drinking today, the refreshing and soon-to-be drink of the summer. You heard it first, here first, from Ben, the Lone Ranger.
I think it's interesting that you chose a drink that has both France and Mexico in the drink. You got your bubbly wine, and you've got your tequila.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
Kudos to you.
I'm just using Prosecco. It's got Italian. It's Italian.
Oh, it's Italian. Okay. Well, you know.
But it could be champagne. It could be French. It could be French. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They have the third best sparkling wine in the world, I hear.
Right behind Northern California and Italy. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking, Matthew?
Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks. I'm drinking a drink that I made up called Santa Margarita. I've been playing around with Benedictine a lot over the last week. Since our friend Mr. Baggerly agreed to be on, and in his article he mentioned Benedictine, I thought, well, I should become more familiar and play around with Benedictine. So I have created a margarita that I'll tell you what's in it. It's got 2 ounces of Blanco tequila, 1 ounce of fresh lime juice, 1/2 ounce of Benedictine, 1 bar spoon or two of agave syrup. You only need a little bit. You don't even need like 1/4 ounce. Maybe just 1 bar spoon, which is optional. If you don't want a sweetness, if you don't want the sweetness in there, you don't have to include this. And then 1 dash of orange bitters. And you're going to put all those into a cocktail shaker with ice. Give it a good shake until well chilled. And you're going to strain that into a rocks glass with fresh ice. You could ahead of time prepare it with salt if you want, or go entirely without the salt, and you're going to garnish it with a lime wheel. So that is what I'm drinking, Bob. What I'm calling a Santa Margarita.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
Thanks, Bob. I think it is. It's ode to our Mexican heritage. Viva Mexico. All right. That's about as optimistic as I'm going to get, Ben.
Right. Right. Yeah. I guess that means we got to do this, don't we? This is what we signed up for. It was like, hey, let's do a podcast about the San Francisco Giants.
And you know, the first year started out so well.
It did.
But we are lifelong Giants fans, should have known better.
Right, right. Well, you know what, Matthew? The universe is Lucy. And Lucy has put that football back down in front of us. And the last couple of years, we were like, okay, we felt like this was coming. We kind of felt like when the universe pulled the football away, we were like, okay, we should have seen it coming, right? Especially last year. It was all sort of like, okay, we had an 81 year before. You know, it turned out 2021 was probably a fluke. And the universe was like, probably? And it gave us the 80 and 82, but we had a really unsavory end to that season. Things just dwindled. But then, Matthew, we had the off-season of off-seasons. Farhan finally came to his senses. He was like, oh, you don't like these rental players who don't want to be Giants and are just here to get good so they can go get their bags somewhere else? Michael Conforto, I don't think you understand how this is supposed to work.
You're supposed to have a good season the first year.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you can't get the bag if you don't. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, and so he was like, oh, you don't like that. Well, I will reluctantly go get some good players, the top players in free agency, but only after they have fallen to bargain basement prices.
But they ended up at Ross. And Farhan was like, now that they're no longer our Nordstrom Rack, you know, now they're not at the big Nordstrom, now they're at the Rack.
Yeah. You know what he does is he waits outside the store on days when he knows the new shipments are coming in, and he waits in line. He's the first one in line. And as soon as the door opens, he rushes in and then he just snatches the good deals right off the top of the bin. And that's how we got Matt Chapman. And that's definitely how we got Blake Snell. And so we were all super excited like this. Finally, they went out and they did the things that they're supposed to do. And then he also got this kid, Jung-Hoo Lee, and we didn't really know what that was going to turn out to be, but at least he was interesting. And you know what? He was young.
Not on a one-year prove-it-to-me contract.
Exactly. So if he's going to improve, you know, he's going to improve as a Giant. And this was great. It was really exciting. And everybody was like, finally. And then we got Bob Melvin. We got rid of old stepdad. And, you know, mom's new boyfriend just seems so much more down to earth. And like, you know, he definitely wasn't a boring guy who comes home and watches Jeopardy at the end of the day every day and asks us how school is. But then turns out he's not really listening. No, not Bob. Not you, Bob. The other Bob. Not Bomel. So we had all these high expectations and look what they've done to us. Look what they've done to us. Look what they've done to you. I'm a cynic. I'm like, of course I don't, you know, like I don't even like the Giants when they're good. You know, it's like, you know, why am I even a Giants fan? Some people ask, who is this guy? I hate him. He hates the Giants. He wants them to lose. Right. So it's fine. Whatever happens to Ben, nobody cares. But look what they did to you. What have they done to you?
What have they done to my boy? Just a shell of my former self, Ben. Just a shell of my former self. I used to wake up happy. I used to, you know, bluebirds would come and land on my finger. I had a skip in my step. It was a wonderful time to be alive. Lately, Ben, I'm struggling. Right. I'm struggling to find meaning.
Right.
I'm struggling to find that joy that you know, other fans have.
Right. Okay. So here's the truth, folks. This isn't the end. This isn't the end. The Giants haven't even played a quarter of the games this season.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's still early.
It's still early. So I'm here to tell you that this isn't the end. And why isn't it the end? Because it's still early. And I know they've given us the rug pull. I know it feels like the universe is about to snatch that football away from us yet again. But it's not over yet. In fact, and I should double check this today, but when I checked this a couple days ago, Fangraphs said that the third wildcard spot was going to be won by a team with 81 wins.
Well, that's actually the way it is right now. The Washington Nationals are in the third wildcard spot at 17-17.
Yeah, at the time it said it was the Giants, Padres, and D-bags who were going to be that third wildcard spot. They were all going to be tied with 81 wins, and they were going to get it. But that was before the Philadelphia thing happened. So unfortunately, the Giants are not one of those 81 teams based on those projections right now. But it's not that far away. Okay? This team, as long as it plays the same way that we thought it would at the beginning of the season, you know, even with, you know, even accounting for this bad stretch, they can still make the playoffs. So it is early. Okay? An 81 win team can make the playoffs. And I know that's not what we wanted. We didn't want to be the third wild card. We wanted to be the second wild card. But here's the thing. A lot of teams that were competitive, they're out there struggling too. The Padres, the D-bags. And let's all ignore the fact that Matthew said the Washington Nationals are in a playoff position based on projections.
Not the projections.
They're currently behind the curtain.
They're currently in a playoff spot. That's my only point.
If they
stay there, that'll be a miracle. But they are in there right now.
Right, right. Here's the other thing that I want everybody to remember. This offense isn't good. And that's a good thing.
Wait, what?
Okay. I mean, it's not good that they're bad. No. This offense isn't good, but it is also underperforming of what it should be. Okay? This offense is never going to be great. It's never going to knock your socks off. It's never going to blow you away. But it's definitely underperforming. This isn't like something that was foreseeable where everybody should have been like, we should have known this offense was going to be this bad. We should have known that, you know, that these guys weren't going to come through.
That Jorge Soler would be 3-for-90 with runners on base?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Nobody should have foreseen that. And also, here's the thing. They continue to hit the ball hard and at the right launch angle where their balls should be falling. They should be landing, but they're not. They should be hitting home runs, but they're not. I mean, poor Jung-Hoo Lee. Like, he seems to be hitting the ball right now to the one part of every park that he's in where it won't be a home run, but would be a home run in every other park except that day. Like, he is annihilating the ball and getting no results. And everybody is underperforming, with the exception of Tyro Estrada and Lamont Wade Jr., who are either at what people expected them to be or above. So the point is that at some point, this offense should and probably will turn around. And there will probably be days when the offense will carry a bad defensive day or a bad pitching outing. And that's why this team looks so bad right now, because it's had a couple of those, right? I know that Logan Webb has looked, you know, he's had two bad starts in a row. And Keaton Wynn had his first bad outing. But those things are going to happen throughout a season, right? Your good guys are going to underperform on occasion. And sometimes that turns into a loss. But other times, the part of your team you don't expect to carry you carries you. And our offense has the ability to do that and probably will. So, this isn't the end.
Feels like the end.
That's because it might be the beginning of the end.
Okay, here's my problem with this whole, Ben. And I think just last week you were talking about how, like, past results doesn't predict future whatever, right? Like, future results. And
right.
And so there's no guarantee this is turning around. This could just be the ugly season of all time. This could be.
It could be.
And this whole team was supposed to be built on pitching and defense, and we knew the offense would struggle, and or not struggle, but would be at average at best.
Yeah.
And right now, their weighted runs created plus ranks 18th in the league. So that actually is higher than I probably would have thought had I not looked that up.
Semi-decent. Semi-decent.
The problem is that their pitching is, in terms of war, is 22nd. So, you know, you got pitching, defense, and offense, and you got to have two out of those three performing at a higher level. And right now we don't have that.
And
you say that it's only we're not even a quarter away through the season, but you said you were going to do some math.
Yeah, I did. I did say I was going to do some math.
And so, you're the computer Silicon Valley dude, and you've had a drink now. So I need you to tell me, like, when is that quarter of a season coming up, and where do we need to be at that point?
Well, Matthew, I do want to say really quickly, after Columbia kicked me out, karma, I did eventually get my degree at Cal State East Bay, go Pioneers, in computer science, and which is essentially a math degree. Like, you can actually double major, at least back then, by taking another half a quarter of math. I didn't want to do that, so I didn't. But anyway, the point is, I can add and do math. And yes. So here's the thing. We talked about when is it still early, and you're right. It is barely still early, because we're almost a quarter of the way through the season.
I knew it. We're doomed.
A quarter of the season actually happens partway through the 41st game of the year. Once you have played 40.2 or something like that games, 0.25 games, you're a quarter of the way through the season. And so if you want to be at 500 or better, you really need to be 21-20 after your 41st game. And here's why it's not the end, Matthew. Because the Giants can still do that.
I'm going back up to our show notes. And I'm looking at our current record.
Okay, yeah, look.
The current record, folks, 15-20.
I said it wasn't great, okay? I didn't say it was...
I'm the psychology major. Math, not my strength. So you're saying that we need to be 21-20, and we are already 15-20 as it is. So that would be... Wait, hold on. Let me take off my shoes. Oh, I got to carry the one. Count on the toes. So that means that we've got to have 6 wins in a row
to get to 21 and 20. I said it was possible. I said it was doable. I didn't say it was easy. You know, and also you don't have to do that. Like, right. I mean, look at the Oakland A's like 20 years ago, they won like 20 plus games in a row. See, you could be here's the thing. If it takes 81 wins to win a wild card spot, the Giants could be 20 games under 500 with 20 games to play, win all 20.
Okay.
And then win a wild card spot.
Okay. So see, there's a difference between optimistic and high. Okay. Oh, and drunk.
That's how you always sound to me. You always saying these ridiculous things like, blah, 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 they could still win 20 in a row. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, they have to win 6 in a row. Here's the good news, though. They have to win against Philadelphia, which I know right now looks impossible.
But it's going to be Mason Black.
That's right. Because Farhan Zaidi. Yeah, Farhan Zaidi finally realized, maybe I am an idiot. Maybe I did make a horrible mistake. I'd like to imagine him. He's sitting there watching Dalton Jeffries just get torched. And he says to himself, I've made a horrible mistake.
But I see I have, there's some thoughts. Okay, so the 40 man, just let's go through the process here, right?
Okay.
So they DFA'd Mitch White. Mm-hmm. In order to clear a spot on the roster for Skeeter McGoo or whatever the catcher's name is, right?
Skeeter McGoo? Jackson Reitz.
Oh, that's right. Reitz. Okay. I knew there's a EE in there somewhere, but okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So Jackson Reitz is the beneficiary of Mitch White's DFA, right? Because he gets added to the 40 man and then brought up the 26 man.
Well, he was the beneficiary
of
Tom Murphy hurting his knee. Yes.
Right. And speaking of Tom Murphy hurting his knee, if he needs surgery, then he gets put on the what aisle? The 60-day IL, which clears a roster spot for Mr. Black.
Yeah.
So Farhan only had to get rid of Mitch White to add two players onto his roster, which to him is like sitting outside of Nordstrom Rack at like that's 6 right. a.m. waiting for the right, new show. Right.
Thing. Tiptoeing through the tulips just to achieve mediocrity. That's Farhan Zaidi.
So Mason Black wouldn't be here if Tom Murphy didn't sprain his knee. That's my theory.
Seriously injured his knee, right? Because remember, he has to go on the 60
right.
day.
That's right. Seriously, he's going to need surgery.
And so we don't know that that's truer yet. We don't know.
We don't know. So if it's not, then Farhan's sitting here tonight, right now, as we speak, he's like researching who's going to be the one that has to get let go.
Yeah, he's going to have to decide who to let go. And what's really interesting to me is that the first guy they let go was Mitch White, who was on the major league roster, right? This guy was good enough to be a San Francisco Giant. He was good enough to be one of the 26 men. He was good enough to make how many appearances? I think he made as many appearances with the Giants in like as small of a stretch as possible as he did with the Blue Jays. They ran that guy out there so many times and he sucked in every single one of them. That's the guy they DFA. That's the guy they DFA and not Dalton Jeffries, not Nick Avila, not any of these other guys. It's that guy. And they had him on the 26 man the whole time. It's absurd. It's absurd. But no, I'm supposed to be the positive guy. And we're going to win six in a row, starting with Philadelphia. And that's the hard part, Matthew, because after that, it's smooth sailing.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it gets super easy after that.
So yeah, okay, we have three games against Colorado.
That's right.
But
and the Giants rule in Colorado.
Okay, see, this is now where I'm starting to understand where you say, but it might be the beginning of the end part. because if they do well in Colorado, then yeah, we're right back in it, baby. We're right back in the saddle. But Ben, if we lose the series in Colorado,
No one will be able to say this team is good. No one.
How many times do you think we can get Andrew Baggerly on our show?
Well, I don't know, man. How many people can we get who listen to the show to subscribe to The Athletic? I think that's what conversions, Matthew. We need conversions.
All right. Or you need to be on your best behavior, which, you know, I'm
Oh, are you worried
there.
I'm going to scare him away?
I'm going to scare him away.
Yeah. Okay. I think we both have the potential for that. You sent me some subjects that I'm like, he's never going to write about that, dude. That's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Gotta find out.
You were
gotta
so obsessed with that
topic.
Gotta
find out why she was named that, Ben. Gotta find that out.
That's weird, dude. It's weird. All right. Anyway, we have to get back on topic. And the point is this. Yes, Matthew, you are right. The Colorado series. Look, if the Giants sweep the Rockies, it doesn't mean they're good. If they win two out of three, it just means they're better than the Rockies. And that's really not hard to do these days. I mean, the Rockies.
I'll take it.
The Rockies went and bent over for the Astros, who were in a absolute lost season. Right. They sweeping the Rockies did nothing for the Astros to solve their problems, but the Rockies did it. The Rockies lost a series to Miami. Right. That's how bad the Rockies are. And that's why this is a pivotal series. Like if the Giants win the series or sweep the series, it means nothing. But if they lose this series, it means everything. Now, of course, they can always come back from that. You can win 20 in a row, right? Okay, we've already established that. But if this team comes back...
I don't know if we've established that.
Teams have won 20 in a row before, Matthew. They were good teams. But still, the point is that like you come back from Colorado having lost to the Rockies after having just been annihilated by the Red Sox and the Phillies. Nobody believes you're good. I don't even think the team can believe it's good. They might think they all think highly of themselves. They should. But you're going to be like, wow, all these other guys around me suck. and that's, nobody's going to dispute that. And the fans are certainly going to know it. And that means everybody's going to start turning the Giants off. They're going to stop going to games, and it's going to be an absolute tailspin. And then that will be the beginning of the end. The Giants will have to do so much work to come back from that. And that's why this is the beginning of the end. Another reason why this is the beginning of the end is because all those guys that I said were underperforming, all those hitters, it's too many of them. Like, too many of them for them all to turn it around. Some of these guys are probably having a down year.
So you're saying Soler, Slater, Conforto, I guess, is starting to kind of fit into that category after a hot start. You're saying all these guys, not all of them are going to turn it around.
Right. I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee might someday be an all-star, but maybe his rookie year isn't that great.
Or maybe just every ball he hits is going to be right at somebody.
Right. We don't know that it won't be. And it certainly can be. But more importantly than that is that the injury bug, which avoided the position players all season, attacked the Giants in the most brutal and funny, ironic way, not funny way, by hitting both of our 26-man roster catchers in
2 days.
2 days. Taking down Patrick Bailey, who was probably at that point our best all-around player. And then our backup catcher, Tom Murphy, went down in succession, meaning that our catchers are now Blake Sable, who was being turned into more of a super sub at AAA because he's not that great of a catcher, and Jackson Reitz, he of, at that time, 2 major league plate appearances. And, this team couldn't stand to lose a player of that caliber. Like, I could not think of a worse guy to lose than Patrick Bailey. Now, it's a concussion, so sometimes you can come back from those easily, but sometimes they linger and last forever, and time will only tell.
Ask Brandon Belt, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's also an injury that ends careers. Mm.
I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to talk about ending careers.
Right.
I just had a thought, though.
Sure.
Didn't you say that you were like the Craig Biggio of Little League, that you have some catching experience?
I do have catching experience. Matthew, the fastest ball I ever caught was probably thrown 60 miles an hour. Don't do this to me.
I'm just saying that maybe you have a shot.
You know what? I bet you I could have stolen a base in the major leagues. That's probably the one thing I could have. I certainly could have gotten hit by a pitch, too. I could have gotten hit by
really
a pitch.
You were really good at that in Little League, too, actually.
That was my thing. I couldn't hit. So I couldn't hit. Okay. That's news. That's interesting. All right. So I think the point here is that this is a pivotal moment in time. And this could be the beginning of the end. It could be.
So what happens if it is? What if just things mm-hmm. keep going down and we at some point it
right.
becomes evident that we're not even going to hit that 500 third wild card spot?
Right.
What
right.
do you do, Ben? If you're Farhan, mm-hmm. whose job is probably on the line right about now.
What do you do?
What do you do?
I don't think his job is on the line right about now. It's just the way these people think and work. I mean, if I was his boss, yeah, sure. But if I was his boss, he would have been fired long ago. Okay. So the first thing that you do, folks, is you don't stop listening to Giant Cocktails. Remember, we got Andrew Baggerly coming onto the show next episode on Thursday. Look for a early afternoon release. You can listen to Giant Cocktails. Well, every episode, twice a week, that's what you can do. And that's your commitment to the San Francisco Giants until they start winning again. And because here's what you listen to us, the Giants get no benefit from that. Heck, we don't get a benefit from it. If enough of you download our episodes, it actually costs us more money. The more of you that listen, the worse it is for us.
Yeah. Well, for Ben, I don't pay anything.
That's right. That's true. The worse it is for me. Tell your friends. So that's the first thing that you can do. But here's the second thing that we get to do if this is the end of the season from a competitive standpoint. We can start talking about which players to trade, which is always fun. It's like the off season, which is one of the parts of the season where we get our most downloads.
Serious.
People love the off season.
People love it when the Giants aren't losing.
Yeah. It's like the hot stove. Yeah, it's like the hot stove season except during the regular season. So you can start talking about who should the Giants trade for prospects. And listeners, there are some players out there that you guys just hate so much. And there's some that I don't like that very much either. Like Michael Conforto. When can we trade him? How many games below 500 do the Giants need to be before they can trade Michael Conforto?
Well, he's a true rental, and he'll be one of those could use a change of scenery, maybe we'll get him going kind of guy.
That's right. Unfortunately, we're not going to get a lot back for that.
No.
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 You know, for a guy who missed a season, had a bad season, and then is having a mediocre season.
Yeah. We might get a Ben Henry back for that.
You might. You know, hey, I don't know if you know this, but he can play second base and catcher. Okay. Conforto, not that great. Probably not going to get great returns from it. He's a gamble, right? Yeah. But the sooner you trade him, the more you could get for him, because then those teams could decide, you know, maybe there'll be more payoff. But here's a name, Matthew, that a lot of fans are going to get excited about.
Okay.
You could trade Mostyn Slastrzemski.
No, not Mostyn Slastrzemski.
Yeah, and in fact, you could trade him twice. Now, look, I mean, Yaz is turning it around. He's kind of coming back to his normal self, you know. Austin Slater, he hasn't had that many at-bats. People really hate Slater. They hate him. And I'm like, this guy is irrelevant. He's irrelevant. Austin Slater is not why the Giants are bad, folks. But you hate him so much. So you could trade him. And I bet you might get as much as you get for Conforto for Slater. Because he's such a good defensive replacement and pinch hitter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are teams out there that could really use a guy like that. And
those are the easy names, Ben. Those are the names that just, everybody would like to get rid of.
All right.
But really, the ones with any trade value are not the ones you just mentioned.
That's
true. What if we put Blake Snell on the block?
Oh, I like that very much. Can you imagine, like, the Snell journey if the Giants trade him before the trade deadline?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but that would be cool.
I mean, it's not going to happen. Why can't it happen? Of course, they would have to give away a lot of money.
They would. They'd have to basically pay for him to go.
Yeah, they'd have to pay for him to go. But, you know, because he has so much upside, you might actually be able to get real prospects here. So basically, you'd be buying prospects.
Which the Giants have done before.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm talking real prospects. Don't get me wrong. I would take four more Lamont Wade Jr.'s and Tyro Estrada's. I would take those guys every day. That's amazing. That's amazing. See, folks, we could be talking about that. That could become a real thing in the future.
Okay, but you know what the real draft or tradable prospects are? Are guys that are fan favorites.
No.
That we wouldn't want to see leave. Could you imagine if Farhan, we wake up one day and the Giants have announced that they've traded Wilmer Flores?
For a backup catcher.
That only plays like five games.
That's probably what he would do. And he's not good defensively. He can only hit. Because that's what we need, a backup catcher that can hit.
Mauricio Dubon 2.0.
Yeah. Wilmer, now you're starting to talk. I mean, I still think that the returns on these are limited. Matthew, let's face it. The Giants only have two position players that are of any value, and one of them they're just not going to get rid of. They're not trading Tyro Estrada. They're not.
Or Patrick Bailey.
Well, Patrick Bailey, but Patrick's hurt. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not trading Bailey at all, ever. That's insane. Estrada, I could see you considering. But there is one guy that I think they might get a little bit of value back for, who they might consider trading, if they were throwing in the towel, and that is Lamont Wade Jr. I think there's a name that you could start to consider. So we're not saying it's happening now, folks, and I know that might make some of you sad. Late night Lamont? Really?
Well, especially since he's like our best hitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's really throwing in the towel. He is our best hitter.
He's one of the top hitters in the league right now. I mean,
he's doing really well. He's not hitting for a lot of power, but otherwise, yeah. So folks, we could start having conversations about that. It's fun. It's kind of morbid. It's kind of, you know, but at the same time, you know, it gives us the potential to bring in new guys.
Well, yeah, right. You trade Slestremski and all of a sudden you've got Matos in right field, right? You trade Wade Jr.
That's
and
right.
Maybe you get a Bryce Eldridge sighting, you know? I mean, that's a big jump.
That's a big jump.
Maybe towards the end of the year, you would, because now you got some guy in there that you don't really care about.
No, Bryce Eldridge is not going to make his debut this year because Farhan Zaidi is our GM. I don't know if you know that. Our hobo is Farhan Zaidi. He doesn't do things like
that. That's right. He doesn't do that because then you have to put him on the 40.
And we're going to get to that. But you are right, though, Matthew. It does make room for young players. And that means we can start to see young players make their debut or players who've already made their debut stick around and have a lot of at-bats. Like tomorrow. He's coming in a start too late. But we're finally going to see, well, today as this podcast is released, we're going to see Mason Black. Finally.
Folks, interesting. If you want to toast Mason Black, I created a cocktail last episode called Free Mason Black. And you should go back and look at Twitter to see the recipe for that, or go back to our show notes of our previous episode to see the recipe for that.
That's right. And so you can see him tomorrow. And even here's the thing about that. Like, I'm not saying Mason Black is our savior. I'm not saying he's going to come out tomorrow and even win. But it's interesting.
Yeah, you're going to watch that game, aren't you?
That's right. I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to be curious to see how he performs. And that makes it interesting. And if he sticks around on the roster, which I know with Farhan Zaidi is not a sure thing whatsoever, you know, because he's got to make sure his boy Dalton Jeffries sticks around, you know, then... But at least I can be excited about every time he performs because I can watch him mature and I can watch him progress. And the same thing is true for those guys who were given their cups of coffee last year, but we haven't seen for any significant period of time, like Luciano, like Matos, and guys who we have seen and finally should probably be given a real legitimate last shot, like Ramos and Schmidt. And so those are things that we can look forward to if the Giants are packing it in. But here's my favorite thing that we can do, Matthew.
What's that?
We can start legitimately asking the question, when can we fire Farhan? Because if this team turns into a dumpster fire, I think that, from my opinion, from my viewpoint, that puts sort of... That's the nail in the coffin. That is the thing that seals the deal, that the Farhan Zaidi era is a failure. If this team misses the playoffs and turns into an implosion, it's Farhan Zaidi's fault. But not because he signed Chapman and Snell. I know a lot of people out there are yelling that sort of stuff on Twitter, and that's just ridiculous. You people all wanted Chapman and Snell to begin with. You did.
We did. And we were excited when they got signed because it meant that there was some big signings, for sure.
That's right. And the reason those guys haven't been good are their fault. It's their fault. It's not Farhan Zaidi's fault. But there are a couple of nits on this roster that I think we can complain about. And because they haven't really hit, we can really start to ask serious questions about. Like Jorge Soler didn't fit the roster. Still doesn't fit the roster.
Yeah, right. I mean, we had, and at the expense, Wilmer Flores has been the one that has been impacted the most, who was our best hitter last year.
Right, right. Like, you could have run with Wilmer and gotten as good of a performance as what Soler has given us.
Better,
sure.
I mean, I think that's clear, right? I mean, Soler has had that bad of a year.
Right. Then we look at the whole, you know, Tom Murphy fiasco. Who the heck signs a 33-year-old hitting backup catcher? Like, why is that the thing you look for at that age, at that position?
And they signed him to a 3-year contract.
Which is just ridiculous. And he can't catch. Just watching him in those last two games. I mean, I know he got hurt, and that caused a whole bunch of other problems. But I'm not even talking about that. But you know what? If he blocks that ball successfully, he doesn't get hurt. And he's just not a good catcher. He's not a good receiver. Why do you want that out of your backup catcher? It was such a bizarre signing. And it created that situation with Joey Bart. So you think, okay, well, then they know they have to trade Joey Bart. And Farhan Zaidi says, do I? I don't have to do. I'm going to sneak him through waivers. So they carry him on the 26-man roster. And we start this weird journey with Dalton Jeffries, who's still with the team a quarter of the way in. And it just was a bizarre signing. Like, you could have just run with Bailey and Bart. And you could have had Mason Black on the roster opening day. Easy peasy. And I know I'm just a man sitting in his closet, but that was the better option. Find me a pundit who would disagree with that. That was the better option.
I think most people were ready to write off Bart and say he needed to change the scenery, and it was always the end. And I think it was only the end because that's what Farhan telegraphed, right? That it was the end for him. I mean, yeah, he's done well, but he's still a legitimate defensive catcher that could have been the reserve catcher behind Patrick Bailey. So it didn't need to be that move, right? And now it's caused this ripple effect that's made a problem. It's created problems for sure.
Right. And that for me, just like over the last couple of weeks, we've really seen Farhan Zaidi. Like, we shouldn't be talking about him right now. And he continues to hamper this team. He continues to do things that hurt this team. Like Mitch White, obviously a mistake. You know, the dedication to Dalton Jeffries over Mason Black is just confounding to me. Everybody in the world thought that Mason Black was going to make his debut in Boston. Except here we get a bullpen game with Dalton Jeffries as the featured pitcher. Meanwhile, the San Diego Padres are trading for Luis Arraez. And the Giants are running out Dalton Jeffries when everybody says it should be Mason Black. It's laughable. I called him incompetent last week, and I think a few times I said it's almost or it's close to. It's no longer almost or close to. He's incompetent. And we can watch the end, folks, if this turns into a dumpster fire, because then we start to wonder, how long is he going to last? He'll probably last till the end of the year. But he might not. And so those are things that we can do if this is the end. But it might not be the end, because we can turn it around in Colorado. Soler and Chapman and everybody else can start hitting. And Chapman can also stop making so many errors. Come on, dude. We just sung your praises a week ago. Seriously. I said you weren't a disappointment. And you said, hold my beer. We don't drink beer on this show, dude.
All right. Well, I thank you for your optimism and that there is possibility to turn this around. But there's also that dose of reality that this could be the team that we see for the rest of the season.
Could be.
And it could be a big dumpster fire from here on out. So I'm looking forward to seeing Andrew Baggerly's take on the quarter of the season for someone who has written about them and knows them inside and out. So,
dude, easily the smartest guy we've ever had on the show. But that is happening, folks. Come and watch. He probably knows cocktails better than we do.
Probably. That's going to be the scary part when he whips out his when he starts talking, breaking down his Benedictine knowledge. I'm going to be like, all right. Yeah.
He's going to be like, actually, it's 47 botanicals. Yeah, it's happening.
All right. Well, I think it's time to close this out with today's trivia question answer, Ben.
Do it.
The trivia question was, you know, that Skeeter Reitz dude hit a home run in his first San Francisco at bat, but not his first major league at bat.
Skeeter Reitz. Jackson. Jackson Reitz.
Oh, that's right. Jackson Reitz. Dude, Jackson with a K. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that one moment today, as we record this podcast, he did something more epic and more perfectly than you have ever done or will ever do in your life.
That's true. But I don't have a name like Skeeter Reitz.
Good old Skeeter.
All right.
Yeah, good old Skeeter really hit that ball.
The question was, all right, four San Francisco Giants have hit a home run in their first major league at bat. Now, where Jackson Reitz did not hit a home run in his first major league at bat. It was his Giants at bat. But the question is, four San Francisco Giants have hit a home run in their first major league at bat. Can you name two of them, Ben?
That's right. And I said, Steve Scarsoni and Kim Batiste.
Yeah, and I have no idea if that's true or not. But
they both played for the Giants in 1996. Kim played 54 games and 136 at-bats. And Steve had 283 at-bats, 319 plate appearances. He was our everyday second baseman.
Ah, good old Steve Scarsoni. All right. Well, the answer is their four name players are, and one of them, which is the first one, it was interesting, John the Count Montefusco.
Wait, what?
Was a pitcher. Hit a home run in his first major league at bat with the Giants. The second was Johnny LeMaster, who was a number one overall pick in one of the drafts for the Giants, had a very forgettable offensive career.
Right.
So hitting a home run in his first major league bat is kind of funny. Will Clark, of course, is the one that Ben was talking about.
The one that you should all know.
He hit it off of Nolan Ryan in the Astrodome.
You should also know that.
So that you can't start a career better than the way Will Clark started his. And the last one was Brett Pill. Mm-hmm. Hit a home run in his first major league bat.
You youngsters, if you haven't seen the highlight of Will hitting the home run, my favorite part is the point.
Yes, when he claps his hands and he points out into the stands
after he comes in from home plate. You got to go watch the replay. It's epic. It's epic.
Apparently, he was pointing to his parents.
Yeah, whatever. Afterwards, but, I don't care who he was pointing to.
Yeah, but
he could have been pointing to anybody he wanted.
That's right.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Yeah,
we saw a game in the Astrodome.
We did. We did.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. That does it. As Ben mentioned, looking ahead to next week, we are playing the lowly Colorado Rockies, who currently have a record of 8-26, which isn't good. And we got to take care of business in Colorado.
I think they've only won two games on the road, so most of those wins have been in Colorado. So but you know what? The Giants have played well in Colorado the last 5 years or so. So. This is a big series, folks. This is a big series. Like, the Giants win it, as I said, that doesn't mean anything. But if they lose this series, this is drama. This is drama. Well,
the Rockies are there to let teams beat up on them.
That's right. And if you
have to take advantage of that.
If you don't beat the Rockies, it means you're bad.
It does. It does mean that.
I know. Anyway, it's a long fall. It's a long fall from where we were a month ago. I know, buddy. I'm so sorry.
Folks, listen to us on the podcast listener of your choice, including YouTube. Subscribe. Do all that. Leave a positive review. Maybe after the Baggerly episode, you could be like, wow, they got great guests. So leave a good review. Maybe in the review you say, this is not indicative of the Giants. Play that they are that the Giant Cocktails guys bring it every game, and unlike the Giants. And then don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already, and follow us on the socials, the platform formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Threads.
Tell your depressed Giants friends.
Tell your depressed Giants friends to come and listen to us.
Yeah,
we will do our best to amuse and entertain.
That's right.
At the very least.
That's right. That's our role. That's what we do.
All right. Well, until next time, Ben, when we have special guest Andrew Baggerly, it's good talking to you. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Oh, please beat the Rockies.
What is it, our funniest episode ever, or is it our best episode ever? Or listen to this episode or die.
Oh, I like that last one. Kind of has a, drives home the point. Maybe it's a little needy, though. Maybe it's just
it's a little needy. It's a little needy.